We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between. Let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is now time, folks, for the second hour of Power with Dan Bush and Tom Neubauer. I love how that rhymes. Hey, welcome back to the Skipper Buds.
Doesn't rhyme at all.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Power, Neubauer, and
Bush.
Power.
Oh.
Power and Bauer.
The Hour of Power, you're actually plagiarizing. That was a Christian broadcast.
Yeah, I know. But that's
no,
all
you
right.
Don't. You never watched any Christian
no,
broadcast.
No, I didn't. No. But I heard I heard it somewhere.
I never watched. I
never even been
close.
Just totally
you
called
had never even
that.
Been close to a church.
I know. I know.
Weddings
no.
and funerals are the only time Tom goes to church. You atheist over there. We need Mike McGivern to pray for you. You too back there, college boy. Party all the time.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
You got your share of indiscretions. I know that.
Yeah. Oh,
a lot to atone for.
A lot to atone
anyway,
for.
Catch Faith in the Zone Sundays on The Fan
yeah,
with Mike
right.
McGivern.
Anyway, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. If you want to get involved in the show, just give us a call at 414-799-1250 with questions, comments, fishing reports.
Weird.
Brag about a fish, big fish. Okay, Danny, I promised. Oh, and I
weird. What was your weird story?
Okay, now on some bait casting reels, you have a button to push
yep.
to make it free spool. And I had one of my bait casters with the swim jig and a scrub on the back. Okay, that's by the way, folks. If you don't know what a scrub, it's a plastic
it's the
trailer.
Guy who sits on the end of the bench and never gets in.
Yeah,
that's a scrub.
Yeah, it's a plastic trailer with two legs that flip around a lot. Two
the
little
D3
paddle tail
basketball.
Legs. Anyway, so I had that bait casting rod. And the swim jig was hanging off the end of it out the back of the boat a little bit by about a foot. Well, as we were moving along, somehow that button, and I didn't notice it, that button got pressed.
The button got pressed.
And so the line was in free spool. The jig dropped in the water, unbeknownst to me. And as we were going down the shoreline, I got about 70, 80 yards of line on there, about
right.
70 yards. And as we're going along, all the line's going out, and I didn't notice
to
it.
You.
And then I happened, for some reason, I was going to pick up that rod and use it, and I looked, and all the line was gone. It was just held on by a little slip knot.
Now it was nounced, because it's no longer unbeknownst.
Yeah, right, it was nounced. Anyway, and all the lines off of the spool, it's just a little slip knot holding, and I went, oh my goodness, I picked it up, I start reeling. Well, this is going to take a while, you know, it's stuck in weeds and all that, and I'm reeling and reeling and reeling. And about halfway to the boat,
You catch a fish.
I said to the guy I'm with, and there's got to be weeds on it, you know. And I said, wait a minute. This doesn't feel right. I said, I think I got a fish on here. Sure enough, there was a fish. When it hit, I don't know, but I had a fish on it. So it was weird.
You
it
know,
was really weird.
We had another story on Little McGraw Lake many years ago up there near my palatial estate up there in Douglas County. We were fishing, and we had row trolled across the lake with like Rapalas.
Mm-hmm.
We'd troll with Rapalas or Daredevils, Jitterbugs, whatever we could chuck out with our Zebco 33s. And we were sitting there just kind of chilling out, and unbeknownst to us, we'd forgotten one of the lures. It was a Jitterbug, right?
Okay.
And it was back 20 yards behind the boat floating. And we didn't even realize it. We were just sitting there chilling for like, and it, I swear to God, it must have been 10 minutes. And all of a sudden we hear this tremendous splash. And we're like, what's that? A pike grabbed that jitterbug.
It did.
It had been sitting on top of the waves, just
not
just,
even not pop, even, pop, popping.
No, just sitting there.
Just laying there.
And a fish took it.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it.
That does happen at times. Two quick ones. One time when my son Chris was younger, him and his, this is my oldest boy, him and one of his buddies wanted to go down to Lake Michigan and fish for perch or trout or anything. You know, I think they were casting for salmon or trout. It was in the fall. And so I said, okay, well, you guys go ahead fish. I stayed in the car and was taking a nap. Okay, I'm napping in the car. And it must have been an hour.
You must have woke up to have a smoke or two.
Yeah, I woke up, and then I came out, and I said, you guys didn't catch anything yet? No, I didn't catch anything. He said, here, give me that rod. Honest to God, I made one cast, and I can't remember if it was a brown trout or a salmon. Caught a fish right away, one cast. And then we get it, and we net it, you know, had the long net with us. And I said, see now, boys, that's how you do it. Now, catch a fish. You know, it was just total luck. Another time, I'm in this bass tournament, and I was using a floating Rapala. This is a long time ago, up near the shore area. And I cast it out, put the rod between my legs, grabbed the smoke.
Yeah, I knew it.
Lit up a smoke.
Had a smoke.
And as the rod's between my legs and has lightened up a smoke, a fish.
And then the ash from the smoke hit
no,
the line and broke your
no,
line?
No,
burned the
no,
line right
no.
Through?
A different time when I was using a bait caster, I had a cigarette in my mouth. Last time I ever did that. Had a cigarette in my mouth.
Was it in a tournament and you lost the fish?
And I lifted up with the bait catcher, set the hook, and the hot spot of the cigarette burnt the line. Yep, and it got off. That was I'll never do that again.
Kind of foolish on that one.
Yeah, very foolish, yep. So no more with that.
Hey, Finfin. Have you ever used the lure called the
Years
Finfin?
Years ago, yeah.
So the same lake, Little McGraw Lake, one of the memories etched in my mind is a time when my cousin Steven got this bait called the thin fin.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, on Little McGraw Lake, he caught a fish every cast on that lousy thin fin. He caught pike. He caught bass. It was just, I think Storm makes it.
Storm. And it looks just like a shad that you would see in Lake Winnebago. It looks like a shad. Yeah. With
know.
A little plastic lip on it, wobble a little bit.
I mean, it didn't look like much, but man, did those fish love it.
Yeah, you know, you don't see those around anymore.
I think it seems to me I saw them somewhere. But a guy should, a guy should use stuff like that more. There's baits that, we're using a Rapala, just a basic floating Rapala. I mean, with all the newfangled crankbaits that have come out, sometimes
people
we forget.
Yeah. Well, I told you last year I just decided to put one on, the larger one, I think a number 11 or number 13. And we were on Phantom. No, not Phantom. Lamabin. We were in Lower Lamabin. And I just decided to put that on for the heck of it. You know, it was shallow water, a lot of weeds. I wanted to keep it above the weeds, you know. And that thing was awesome. I got a lot of fish on it, you know. I mean, so, and I hadn't used that thing in years. It just happened to be in the box, you know. But, yeah, well, there's a lot of baits out there that we should use. Who do you got on the line there?
We got Gary in Watertown.
All right. Hey, Gary, how you doing this morning?
Good, Tom. We went up to Boulder Junction this last weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yeah?
And it was excellent.
Did you have nice weather?
Yeah, it didn't rain one year up there.
Well, that's good. Do any fishing?
Yeah, we did a lot of fishing, 2 days.
Yeah, do any good?
Yeah, we went out with Irv Keller up there. And
oh,
we had a really good time.
Yeah? So, well, that's good.
What were you guys, walleyes, bass? What would you target?
We went out for walleyes.
And you did manage to get some up there?
We got quite a few, probably 50 or 75.
Oh, that's awesome. Jigging minnow, or what were you doing?
Yeah, a little bit of jigging minnow, and then I used Mississippi. You got to kind of keep it quiet, otherwise all these walleye fishermen up there in Fond du Lac will know.
Gary, it'll just be between us three, okay?
Yeah, no one's listening to the show.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us the secret.
It's just us.
What's the secret?
He doesn't.
Well, I think there's the money is out in South Dakota. He's got two more walleye tournaments of fish yet.
Oh.
You could see the fish out in South Dakota, and they couldn't catch them. They used everything, and then he grabbed the Mississippi rig, and then he threw that on, and then he popped them out, and he ended up in some.
What's a Mississippi rig?
Mississippi rig.
What is it?
Yeah, with a little hair on it.
What is it?
A jig with a little hair on it.
Tom, you got to put it together now.
We got those.
The Mississippi River, they got like a drop weight with the lead, and then you got the back line, and it kind of goes
like
in the bottom.
Like a Winnebago rig.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But the Mississippi rig.
I think that's
it's
like
a lot
Winnebago
like the
rig.
Neubauer rig.
No, I don't think so.
What I did is I threw a limb on there and I started hitting the bottom with it. You know, I like pounding on the bottom. I did that 2 years ago and we were fishing up there in the Battle of Bagel and I took my heavy jig and I pounded on the bottom and all of a sudden my rod just straight down the hole. I had a hold of it. I kept a hold of it, but I had Cody fight it out for me and he got on there and he said, there's a heck of a fish on here. Well, got it into the hole, and then we got lost it. So this last year, I did it, too, and I pounded on the bottom. And he's, Dad, are you going to start fishing? I go, yeah, getting about ready. So I just brought it up real slow, and I got an eighth place in the Battle of the Bagel.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, you told us. Yeah, that's great.
So what you lost the one, was it a giant walleye?
Yeah, it was a giant walleye.
Oh, wow. you saw, are you sure it wasn't a big eel pout?
Right away.
We saw when it got to the hole.
All right.
Right away.
So I told the kid, I said, you got to bang it on the bottom. So I'm banging that on the bottom up there by Herb up there. And all of a sudden, I thought, well, I got it stuck in the weed. So I gave him my rod and he was standing on the front of the boat and he's dead. There's a fish on here. Well, there was a 15-inch walleye and then a 49-inch muskie took it too at the same time. We got them both to the top of the water.
Really?
Wow.
That's cool. So it was.
So when you fish with me, I kind of stack them up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to just start calling you Bottom Pounder Gary. Hey, we got to run, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, we had a good time, though.
All right. Sounds
great.
Good. Thanks.
Okay, bye, Gary.
Bye.
Well, I'm glad they had a good time up
north.
He
might have been one of the winners, Tom. That Irv Keller is Dennis, our Boulder Junction Connections guide up there.
Oh, he didn't tell us that, though.
He might have been one of the lucky wieners from the sports show.
From the sports show, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you put that together?
No, I didn't do well at math.
All those concussions you had as a kid.
I didn't do well
at those concussions
at adding
and
two and two.
He played Division III, too. He was a Division III scrub.
We're going to take
nothing
a break
worse
here
than a
on
division,
the Cutting Edge Outdoors division, show so I can go fight Danny
to be
on the
a
parking
scrub,
lot.
Yeah, see, and you, and
if you're a D3 scrub, that means you really suck. You're really bad.
See, and that's why Baby Tausch is going to give him a forearm.
Well,
you're
he wasn't
give
a scrub.
Forearm.
He was a starter.
All right, folks, we got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with more, so stay tuned right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Danny might not be back. And after a convincing 96-82 victory over Swarthmore College, UW Oshkosh claims the Division III basketball national title. Scoreboard don't lie, Danny.
That's good. Oh, that's funny.
Well, enjoy your glory days, college days now, because I'll tell you, 40 years from now, you won't even be thinking about your old college.
Well,
You'll
you
be
are.
On and
you do.
No, I
40
don't.
40 years later. You tell us lots of stories.
Boy, I got some. I've got stories I forgot.
I know.
I started
me too.
Telling my students some of the college stories. They loved it. They all wanted to go to college. Just so they could get in trouble like I did.
And get stories.
Got put on probation. I was put on. Yeah.
Who do you got on the line
on
there?
Social Nick. Probation.
We got Randy in Grafton.
All right, put him on there. Hey, good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Danny and Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Randy?
Yeah, pretty good. Listen, you guys, Danny, you're exactly right. Raleigh's Bay and the Pike, a couple years ago, the DNR biologist up there was telling me they were starting to see more and more pike in their surveys, so it's not surprising that, and he suggested that I tried up there late ice and pre-spawn for the pike, fishing some dead bait. So You're exactly right. I guess it's all coming to fruition now, but not a lot of guys fish up there for pike in general. So,
well, we were thinking about trying to go up into that Mink River and fish for pike because they have to. It's a natural spawning area back there for them. It goes like gets way shallow and cattails, and you know that those pike and nobody's targeting them at all. So if you could get in there late ice, and I don't know if you'd go at the mouth of the river and set up or if you'd go way back in there, but it'd be something to investigate.
Yeah, I think you could. The bay freezes over, and I think you just go up there with the standard dead bait, and you'll get a lot of action, but they're not targeted. They haven't been for a long time because of population levels, and so they're there for the taking, but... Yeah, what you experienced, I understand, I think you said last week you caught a 45-incher, but that, you know, it's to be expected because of what they've been seeing. And so a couple of years ago, like I said, they started seeing the trends in terms of population. Of course, you got to have the fish there in the first place. Second thing was... with the shad type bait you guys were talking about.
Oh, that thin fin?
Oh, I don't know. Going way, way back to the early coho fishing, that was a coho bait. Saw it used. We used it down in Lake Erie. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a real popular bait for bass during springtime down on Table Rock and some of the southern lakes. So,
so they still use that, huh?
In one place. Is, I guess, good bait in many different places.
Well, that's great.
I never would have thought for the coho, but I guess, you know, might be worth putting it on. And, you know, everybody trolls Randy. They troll flicker shads out there. They troll Rapalas and catch cohos. Put on a thin fin and try trolling that. No reason that shouldn't work. Looks like a little...
To be honest, I can understand. It just doesn't work well at high speeds.
No.
Coho on Lake Michigan, walleye and Erie, bass on Table Rock. It just seems that, I remember it as a very inexpensive bait. So, whatever, it works.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how about south of Rowley's Bay? There's Bailey's Harbor, and I was talking to Randy at Midwestern Shooter Supply, and he's got some guy. One of his customers comes in and tells him that they go. He thought it was Bailey's Harbor. The guy mentioned to him they go there and get smallmouth, but the guy was talking about seeing some giant pike there. Have you heard anything about that as far as the pike?
I mean, I've fished North Bay, which is an excellent place, too, just south of Raleigh's. Bailey's Harbor, just for brown trout. I got to think you stick with North Bay and Raleigh's Bay, you're going to have all the activity for smallmouth and pike that you want.
Okay. Yeah, we almost went to North Bay. My brother actually drove by and looked at it. He said it was really pretty looking. But then the one day we wanted to go there, the wind was blowing in pretty heavy and hard, so we went to the bayside.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the beauty up there, isn't it? You go to one side or the other, especially this time of year. Now that you're getting into summer a little bit more, the Green Bay side really starts to pick up. Oh, you were talking about that. So,
right. Right,
great,
yep.
Fishery, huh?
Well, it's awesome. It's awesome, man. So, well, good hearing from you, Randy.
Yeah, okay, it's nice to hear again.
All
okay,
right.
Don't be a stranger.
Yep.
Okay, that was... hey, we got an email from Adam.
Okay.
It says, good morning, fellas.
Red Adam 12.
I heard you talking about old lures and couldn't help but think about what has been happening in the musky world lately. When it comes to musky fishing, I try to stay ahead of the curve. A lot of people are not realizing what's old is new again. Old school wood clacking top water from Greg Nimmer, single bladed marabou bucktails, and even downsizing your baits. When the double cowgirls came out about 15 years ago, it was a fish catching machine. These fish get used to vibration like that. Don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid to try new things on the water. It will most certainly pay off. Just my nickel's worth of free advice. Have a good day and keep up the great work. From Adam. Well, Adam's right. You know, fish get, I don't know if they just get used to stuff or whatever, but he's right. When that cowgirl first came out, it was awesome. But now it's like almost like any other bucktail, you know. But you know what I've been planning to do is for muskie is And we used to use a lot of these years ago and catch a lot of fish on them, but then all these new bucktails came out.
Right.
I'm going to go back to some of the old MEPs that I used to use all the time. I mean, I used them all the time. We caught fish all the time. But how many people are using the musky killer or the musky double-hooked Eglia? I don't think a lot of people are, you know?
Right.
And it's almost like maybe what's old would be new to these fish again because they're not seeing and hearing that stuff. You know, they're seeing all the double-bladed stuff and all that. He's got a point there, you know? You know, things change. But, you know, those older fish are gone now, and now it's younger fish, and they haven't seen or heard this lure again.
Do you ever do much on a suic?
I have caught fish on them, but I used to use them. But I haven't used a suic in so many years.
I've never really had great luck with the suic. I had better luck with the bobby bait.
I had that too. I used them both. But I weighted my suics. I either bought weighted ones.
Right.
Or I would weight the ones that were non-weighted. I put the weights in them, you know, because it was hard to keep them down, you know, the non-weighted ones.
Right. Right.
So if you put weight in there, it's a lot easier to keep them under the surface where they should be.
Well, I like the non-weighted bobbies, but what I did do is I'd soak it in water. I'd put it in a bucket and let it get all waterlogged.
Yeah.
And nothing works better if you got some nice cabbage weeds in about 4 or 5 feet of water, even 8 feet of water. And if the cabbage weeds come almost to the top, if you get a good wind blowing, if you can get a bobby bait dancing over the tops of those waves.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It almost has, and for pike too. Mm-hmm. In Canada, this worked great for pike, and it's really cool because you see the strike. They come shooting up out of those weeds. Another one that's good for that is the Burt. The Burt bait.
Oh, yeah, the Burts.
Yeah, years ago when I fished with Troy Woodrow in a tournament over in Taylor's Bay, I was working a jerk bait, a Burt bait, orange one, and 43 incher came up and hammered it at the end of the cast. Mm-hmm. That put us almost in the I think we took fourth in that tournament. So.
You know what I find interesting is that number of years ago I was up there talking to the guy who invented the bobby bait was Frank. What was his last name?
Well,
not the bobby bait. I mean the suic.
Suic, Frank Suic.
Frank Suic. And I was talking to his
last name was
son.
Suic.
Yeah, his son or his grandson, whatever. Larry, I think his name was. Well, anyway, and one of their most popular selling baits, or the one that sold the most, was the chartreuse with little orange and black dots. And I thought, you know, this, what does this look like to a fish? You know, I mean, it's like chartreuse, orange and black dots. It's, or maybe it was just all orange dots. It's like, this has got to be the ugliest looking thing around. But he said it was one of their top sellers, especially in Canada. And I've always wondered why some of these weird colors work. And then I remember I told you about that little girl at Sherper's who asked me one day, are bright colors good to attract fish? And that got me thinking, yeah, I guess they are. I guess they are. You know, bright colors, I guess.
From the mouths of babes.
Yeah, they attract fish. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, just one of the weird.
Well, bright
baits.
Colors. Yeah. Well, for smallmouth, I mean, we're using blaze orange, pink, X-Wrap, bright colors for some reason. And you would think going in clear water, like the Bay of Green Bay, you know, those fish can see 20 feet. You would think that the more
natural colors.
But,
yeah.
But then the mega bass we were using was more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, he had a bait. I forget the name of it. He bought it in California, and it was a real natural colored bait, jerk bait, and he was hammering fish on that. So you can—it's amazing. Sometimes you get them on bright baits. Sometimes you get them on the natural colored ones as well. Let me ask you, hair jigs. Have you done a lot of fishing with hair jigs?
Years ago, I did. I don't anymore, but I have some black, and then I have another one that's bubblegum called pink.
Right.
And because Al Linder said pink was good. But anyway, I guess black marabou jigs or hair jigs are good up there.
Up for the Bay of Green Bay.
And I've got some of those. I got them in 16th ounce, 8th ounce, and 16th and 8th ounce. And I also got some pink ones in. Right, I had a guy make them up for me. He makes these marabou jigs. And I don't have his name offhand or how to get a hold of him. I don't have it right here
with me. Well, it's interesting because... You know, typically you think of people just kind of hopping it along the bottom and so forth.
Yeah.
But we were up there, and we'd caught a whole bunch of fish on jerkbaits. And Mark Horton, he said, you know what? The fish kind of quit. They just kind of shut down, and the wind died.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to try a more subtle presentation.
Yeah.
I'm going to try a hair jig. And what he would do, he'd cast it out, and if you're in 7 feet of water, he'd count to six. Just let it sink on down. Point the rod tip right at it, and just steady, slow retrieve. Just steady retrieve. And it worked. He caught a 19-inch. My brother put a hair jig. He got a 19. Then Horton got another 19. Then I'm like, oh, crap, I got to tie on a hair jig. So I put one on, and I, of course, caught a 16-inch.
Yeah.
But just a steady, slow retrieve with that hair jig. It doesn't look like, maybe it looks like a leech going through the water, but that black marabou hair jig, you know, with a pretty good tail on it. So if you have a pretty good hunk of the marabou, I learned another way how to catch bass, and it was simple.
You know, years ago, Gary Roach talked about that same thing. I mean, this is like many years ago. He said, like fishing for walleyes, because he's Mr. Walleye, right? And he said, you don't always have to hop that jig and minnow, jig and crawler, jig and leech. You don't have to hop it. Let it hit bottom and just start reeling it slow. Let it go right along the bottom. He said, you don't have to hop it. Just reel it slow. The fish know it's there. They'll pick it up if they want it, you know. But it seems like it digs up a little bit of the bottom.
Right.
You know what I mean? Makes some noise if it's hitting gravel or whatever. But yeah, that just letting it. I think that's what happened with that swim jig that I had. It was just swimming along, hitting the bottom, and something grabbed it. You know,
that's how they fish the Kalen's Lunkin grubs up there
exactly.
too. Same thing, just steady, slow retrieve.
All right, folks, we got another break coming up here, so we'll be right back. 799-1250 is the phone number if you want to give us a buzz. Stay tuned. We got a couple people on hold. We will get to you really quickly, so just stay tuned through the commercial. We'll be right back here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. All the lines off of the spool. It's just a little slip knot holding. I went, oh, my goodness, I picked it up. I start reeling. Well, this is going to take a while. And I'm reeling and reeling and reeling and reeling and reeling and reeling and reeling.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tea?
That was a good one, Nick.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors, 799-1250. If you have a fishing, hunting report, or just a general comment, if you need some marriage advice, Tom's a marriage expert here. He's been married for 55 years.
46.
Oh, that was close.
46.
Wow.
We got Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection, on the line right now. So let's talk to Dennis. Hey, good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, guys. How are you down there this morning?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, listen, the guy who won the trip was his name Gary?
Yep, Gary.
Okay, he didn't actually say he did, but Danny put it together that he went up there, he's fishing with Irv, caught a lot of walleyes.
Yes, they had a good time. His wife or a significant other and her son and Gary came up, and they said they had a great time. They loved it up here.
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Fished for a couple of days, and so you got a happy listener. So
slammed a bunch of walleyes.
Yeah, he said they had walleye fishing, they bass fished, and crappie fishing. And he said they fished with her for, I guess, 2 days and enjoyed the weather was ideal. So they had a good time, and they enjoyed it. So hopefully the other listener that won is going to be up here in a couple of weeks, and he'll be up here doing the same thing again. So.
Excellent. So what, fishing good up there by you then, I take it?
Right now, the fishing's very good. It's been warm lately, and the water temperature runs anywhere from 65 to 64 up to 68 degrees, that's surface water.
Yeah.
Weather's been ideal. Rain let up, and there's not, it hasn't been real wet, but the rain that we had created a lot of standing water, and if you bring your mosquito dope along, because the mosquitoes are ready to take blood.
So, oh, really? They are already, huh?
Yeah, our mosquito population is just plummeted, and it's...
Plummeted? You mean it went down? I thought it went up.
It went up, I'm sorry.
Exploded.
It exploded.
Exploded.
It plummeted upwards.
Yeah, plummeted upwards. Like a plume.
Yeah, like a
mushroom plume.
No, but the rain stopped and the water, standing water, created a bunch of mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, it's tough right now. Well, it's not bad, but you got to have your mosquito dope with you. So.
Yeah, your Coleman insect repellent.
Yeah.
You need that. You need it.
and it's been good up here, and it's summer's here, and the town is full, and there's a lot of fishermen, and there's a lot of people biking and trailing and just doing the summer things. That's a nice thing to have.
That sounds great.
So this next couple of weeks, prime time to get up to the Boulder Junction area and do some vacationing.
Along with you two guys, you get yourself in a car and come up here. We'd have a good time.
Hey, now is a good time for muskie fishing up there too, isn't it?
Yes, muskie fishing has been real good. And I had a one of our employees that works for us, he and his dad went out fishing this last Saturday, and they boated 6 fish.
Wow.
Wow.
And he said that's unusual. They had a good time. They weren't real large fish, but they were up shallow, obviously, and they had a great time catching muskies. And walleyes are real good right now, too, anywhere from 8 to 22 feet of water. And jigs in the middle are still working the best. They're starting to use plastic. Plastic works pretty good as well. But right now the top bait would be a jig in the middle. So.
All right.
Well, keep it simple.
Well, thanks for that report, Dennis. We do appreciate it.
Yep, we'll keep in touch with you guys, and hopefully when we get the other listener up there, I'll give you a call.
Try to avoid that West Nile virus.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a good one.
Okay, yeah, we'll see you. Dennis. Bye now. And who else you got there, Nick?
We got Nick on Pewaukee on line 2.
Hey.
Oh, hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Now, are you out fishing right now?
No, I'm actually headed to go help my brother-in-law take some trees down.
Oh, okay. You want to come and chop some limbs by my house?
Don't do it. Don't do it, Nick. He's trying to get you. He's using you.
Not in 85-degree weather. I got 2 hours in me this morning. That's it.
Oh, gotcha. Geez. Okay. So what's up?
Well, I just want to talk about carp shooting a little bit. So,
oh yeah.
Right now, I was out yesterday on Pewaukee Lake, and you know I do it quite a bit, and I never see anybody else out there.
Right.
And there's so many carp.
Oh,
out there.
I know.
You gotta get rid of them.
Now, where are you finding the carp? What depth of water?
Actually, I'll tell you exactly where it is because we got to kill these carp on Pewaukee. That. If you go to Taylor's Bay and you go about 10 yards from shore and just work your trolling motor up and down, I shot 9 yesterday. I missed an albino carp.
Oh, really? Wow, that's different.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was a koi at first.
And I wouldn't
like, I don't know if I could shoot that.
Hey, and Nick, I wouldn't doubt it if somebody's let a few in that lake. you know,
without a doubt. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's kind of interesting that if you think about it, if you go fishing in the morning and then it slows down, in the afternoon with the high sun, you can see them. You don't need to go at night.
Right.
It's a $100 setup, and you can go shoot some carp.
Yeah, I thought a number of years ago they had like a carp tournament or contest or something like that out there, didn't they?
Yeah, they do. I think
every now and then.
Well, who's got it? Phantom has got it where they tag one of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you shoot the tag one, you get $1,000 or $5,000 or something.
That would make it worthwhile, you know, for everybody to go out there and get those carp. Seems to me I used to see some guys out there at night with the bright lights and stuff going out there.
Yeah, I still see those guys a little bit, but those rigs are so damn expensive, though.
Yeah.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Those guys are set up deluxe. Yeah. I mean, they've got their deluxe carp shooting machine boat.
Yeah. You know,
ridiculous.
You know, Nick, I've never done it, but everybody I've talked to done it said that it's quite an experience. It's thrilling, you know, shooting the bow at the fish because it's not. You got to aim a little lower than normal when you see them. Is that it?
Yeah, it's actually I'll miss 2 fish to every one that I get.
Okay.
So it's the refraction. So
refraction,
if you're 4 feet of water, you're shooting probably 1.5, 2 feet below the fish.
Tom,
that much?
Have you ever taken a pencil and put it in a glass of water?
No, I know all about it.
Same thing.
Yeah, I know. I know all about it.
Teaching him some science here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's had a lot of concussions.
Right,
he's got most of it.
I got extra bows if you want to go.
It sounds, what kind of bows are they? Compound bows?
So if you go to any bow shop, just buy the old, you know, crappy used bows for $50 and then you just put a good reel and then the arrow on it.
Yeah.
You're looking at a $150 setup.
You know, over at Sherper's in Hales Corners, we got 3 carp bow reels, and they've been sitting there for like 2 or 3 years. If anybody wanted one, I'd give them a heck of a deal on them. I mean, these aren't cheap. They're the big Zepco ones,
which
they're like about, I don't know, $50, $60, $70. They're
big
really nice. Huh?
The big 808?
No, no, no. 800? It's a much better than that.
Really?
Much better.
And
oh,
it's
yeah.
made for the bow?
It's made explicitly for the to mount on bows for carp fishing.
Really?
Yeah.
You just screw it in where the stabilizer is.
Yep. And I'll tell you, I'll give somebody a heck of a deal if they want any of
and
those.
And then you just need to get a couple special arrows with the special,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you can
Buck Rub has those though.
And
yeah,
then
they
you
have
can
them. Yeah.
and you probably don't need a lot of arrows cuz you just keep using the same arrow, right?
Yeah.
You just wind it in.
Right? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I will say if you shoot and if you almost need to use and this kind of sounds like overkill but at least 100 or 200 or 300 pound the rope for it or
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
If you use the 50, I lost more arrows using 50. That stuff still carp are powerful.
They yeah, they happen. Are. Yeah, definitely.
Break you off.
Well, thanks, Nick, for calling. We do appreciate
yeah.
it.
And keep up the good work. Keep slamming those carp.
Yeah, and keep us informed, okay?
Will do.
Okay, thanks.
Right,
thanks
care.
A lot. Okay, bye now. We got to go to a break right now. When we come back after the break, I got an announcement to tell you. If you want to save money, I got a great announcement for you. You're going to want to hear it right after this break.
Fair deal, Tom.
Yeah. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Nick Bodie on the boards. We're having fun here at the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown. Oh, we're headed for Venus.
Okay, Bushy, it's all you.
What?
It's all you.
But where? What? Where are we? What's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, it's Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds,
yeah.
Cutting Edge Outdoors. You know, I have dreams about this show, Tom.
Yeah.
Want to know what
yeah.
my nightmare dream is?
What's that?
Okay, it's one of those reoccurring dreams. Okay, so my reoccurring dream is like I'm late to the show, and when I get to the studio. I'm trying, in the past, it was you and John, right? And I'm trying to find you and John, but you're not in the studio that I go to, and I'm like in a maze going around the studio trying to find you guys.
Really?
And
you mean going around the station?
Yeah, I keep looking for you guys, and I'm frantic because I'm late, and then all of a sudden, the show's over, and I've missed the show. And then I wake up in a sweat. Like, I missed the... Yeah, it's just weird.
You know, I've never had a dream about the show.
Ever?
Never, ever.
And you want to
know
another common dream? I never realized this one is a common one. I talked to... Maybe... Well, you went to college, okay? Well, you just went to college. You don't know
Careful.
Nothing. Yeah. Wait, you got 20 years before you know anything. You never went to college, did you, Tom?
But I read all my son's college books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's how you're so greatly learned.
No, I'm
and
dead
knowledgeable
serious.
And a genius.
I the only ones
for how
like,
much they cost, the parents should be reading them.
Yeah, the only ones that
Go to
were
the
really
used bookstore no, when you're in college. You don't
the only
buy
ones
new.
That were tough was the anatomy books to try to remember all those names of anatomy. That I don't have a good memory for that, so.
Well, you wouldn't have this dream wouldn't work for you because you didn't go to college. But for those that went to college, I'll have a dream where I'm in college and there's a class that I haven't gone to all year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And it's like, and it's normally an English class and it's like the end of the semester and all of a sudden I'm realizing, hey, I've been forgetting to go to this class.
Yep.
And then I'm looking for it, and I can't find the room that it's in. And, yeah, and I talked to somebody.
Really?
And so basically, like, I'm going to fail this class. I haven't gone through it all year. And I've talked to other guys who went to college. They said that's a common dream.
Really?
Yep. I graduated in December. I have not taken a math class since the fall of 2015, and I still have recurring nightmares about waking up late for a math exam or waking up showing up to the last day of an exam, and I've skipped like the previous 2 months of the class.
Hey, yeah, like all of a sudden I just realize, hey, I haven't been going to that class.
Yep.
Like I totally forgot about it.
Yep.
I got a question for you guys. Do you dream in color or in black and white?
Color.
You know,
some of mine are half and half.
Really?
I don't know. They used to say,
half half.
How do you know? You're dreaming.
Know.
How do you know?
I just know.
Item by item. Like you can remember, I've had like, you know, weird dreams, like a bright color sticks out.
Yeah, yeah. Colors will stick out. You remember colors when you remember the dream. Yeah.
Do you have, I'm having a lot of reoccurring dreams about my dad. Now, my dad died 4 or 5 years ago, but I'm having all kinds of dreams where I'm out fishing with him or hunting and stuff.
I don't know. But I do have something to report that I said I was going to tell everybody.
Okay, why don't you tell us?
Sherpers and Hales Corners next week Saturday is having, and it's going to be early. It's going to be by 9 o'clock starts.
Father's Day sale.
No, this is
Father's Day weekend.
You can call it a sidewalk sale, garage sale,
why don't you
yard
just call
sale.
It Father's Day sale.
It's
Father's
not
Day weekend,
but it's
but
not.
But you could make it.
It's they're calling it a sidewalk sale.
Okay,
sidewalk, we call it a garage sale, even though there's no garage or a yard sale.
Yeah, oh sure.
Even though there's
no yard.
You can't
call it Father's Day, but you can call it a garage sale.
Well, they happen to be doing on the day before Father's Day. It's on Saturday, and the discounted items are greatly discounted.
Greatly discounted. Let's talk percentage. Let's talk numbers, buddy.
I mean, we're talking like a lot of them are 50% off.
50%.
Here it's like, okay.
That's half.
An original Bucks jersey.
Yeah, I went to school.
A Bucks jersey, a throwback Bucks colored jersey with the number one on the back.
Yeah.
With the old logo and all that. Normally they sell for like $80. They're like less than half price. They're going to be less than half.
That's all I'd pay for a Bucks jersey after the Eastern Conference finals.
Yeah, I know. Hey? But anyway, but no, and everything's going to be out there.
Have you got any Oshkosh Division III jerseys? You're probably giving those away.
No, I think we do. No,
you're paying people to take them.
Those are. Oh.
I'm
you know,
just, I'm
you know,
just telling
you know,
the Gibbon we need 5
wait,
minutes
you know,
before
Danny,
the next show.
I'll give you
Danny,
a buck and take the Oshkosh jersey.
I like Nick as a producer. I want him to stay here. Stop doing that to him. He's going to leave.
Well, maybe you can infuse the jersey with some insect repellent
and tell him it'll keep the gnats and ticks away.
Maybe that'll get him to take it.
If he leaves, you know, I'm going to have to go back there and press buttons. And you don't want that.
Right, Homer
God
Simpson.
Only knows what the
Yeah, laugh. We could. We'll just get the Polish rifle.
The Polish rifle. Yeah, Jeff Ordeski, the Polish Jeff Orlowski, the Polish pipe bomb. Yeah, that might be good.
Oh, goodness, what happened to this show?
This is a show?
When I was hired, Tom, they
Who
said,
are
the
you people?
The job isn't
what am I doing
buttons,
sitting here?
It's keeping the show on the rails.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, because this crazy train does hop off rails every now and then.
At least you're not dropping SH bombs anymore, Tom, where
I've been pretty good on that.
Producer has to dive for the dump button.
Yeah. Does that dump button actually work?
Let's not test it.
Should we test it?
No,
don't say any bad words.
You don't want to test it?
I think it just works fine. Yep.
You know, people ask me about that. They say, why can't you use that S word? But you can say crap and doo-doo and dookie and, you know, all the other ones.
Yeah.
But you just can't say that S word. And I said, I don't know, because they all mean the same thing. You know? Oh, you could say shat, but not the other one.
Nope.
You know?
You can say number one.
Yeah, no, you can say
number
that.
Number two.
Yeah, number one, number two, yeah. But, I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, euphemisms for that, but you can't say that one.
Well, it's weird. Stuff they can say on TV right now, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Primetime TV, I hear F-bombs.
That you never.
I'm like, what? Did I just hear a F-bomb?
I don't think I've ever heard a F-bomb
like
on
I think on FX.
On cable,
I think
you
on
will.
FX, but, I mean, that's not HBO or Showtime.
Well, that's cable, though. They can do just about anything on cable. Yeah,
I don't know the things they complain about nowadays. The things kids are exposed to and grow up hearing and seeing is unbelievable.
I remember on Johnny Carson's show. Now this is a long time ago. Johnny Carson's show, and George Carlin came on, and this is when he came out with the 7 words you can't say on the radio, and he said every one of them, and it was like a straight beep. right through, and he listed every one of them.
You guys want to know the kind of English books they're reading in high schools now?
And Carson,
all kinds of bad words.
Yeah. And Johnny Carson almost
we
fell
never
off
had
his
that
chair
when I was in high school. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, hey, Danny, all you got to do is write a different book. Write a book that doesn't have all those words in it.
Well. I was listening to, because my only one station that works on my truck is, so I was listening to Coast, and they were talking about a strange fact about a guy who got challenged to write a novel without using the letter E.
So the
guy sat down and he wrote, he wrote a book without using the letter E once. He had a typewriter and he taped the E down where he couldn't hit it.
So words were just missing the letter E?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he came up with words. That would be like, I don't know how you do that.
I don't know you could do that. Hey, Danny, I've had a good time this morning. Glad to have you back. We'll see you next week.
Good to be back, you bet, buddy. And hopefully we'll get back. I'm going to do a little muskellunge fishing this week. So,
and I'm going bass fishing tomorrow.
Hopefully we can have some reports next week. So that's all I got.
Tell all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. Get out, do some fishing today, my friends. We'll talk to you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.